you would find in your Bibles the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Again, we're going to kind of be all over the place this morning. I know that last week it was kind of like drinking through a fire hose. But what I'm doing is delving into the meat of the word. We're talking about the chewing on chunks of great beef of the word. Okay? The milk is good, but sometimes you need a really good hearty meal. And when you're talking about the analogy of faith, and when you're talking about how Christ fulfills all the covenants and how the Old Testament and the New Testament work together, you're talking about a really good hearty meal on the word. So try to stick with me. Write the scriptures down. If you have questions, you know, feel free to grab me later and say, hey, what did you mean by this? You know, could you further clarify this? Because this is good stuff, and I want this to really get into your heart. I want you to be able to meditate on it. I want you to chew on it. You know, a cow kind of, he regurgitates. He brings it in, and then he tosses it back up and chews on it some more. That's what I want you to do as we get into the word here this morning. I want you to bring it in, and then, you know, let it come back up and meditate on it some more, and then, you know, it might seep back down into your heart, and then let it just kind of meditate on it some more during the week, and let it really change your heart and your mind. Pray with me, please. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, we recognize that this is a holy word. And thank you, Lord, that on each page is your fingerprint. That we can see Jesus on every page of this, not just because you wrote it, but because all the way through, from the beginning to the end, it all speaks of Jesus. Lord, let us see him in this word this morning. And not only let us see him, but let us see how he wants to change our lives, how he wants to live through us, and how we can be more shaped and formed into his image. We thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of y'all have ever placed yourself in Adam or Eve's shoes? You've thought about it, gone, you know, Lord, if you would have created me first, you know, and I'd seen this serpent come along, and you're going, yeah, I'd for you gardeners, I would have had a hoe out already. You know, God would have given me the hoe of life, you know, or the shovel of faith, and I would have taken the head off of that serpent right then and there. For those of you all more militaristic type, you'd be going, you know, God gave me that sawed-off 12-gauge, and that serpent, he would have been gone. Me and God, and we would have walked in the cool of the day, you know, it would have been perfect. Come on. If you haven't done it, you are right now. And you've wondered what it would be like to have that perfect fellowship with God. Now, we all know that we like to think of the devil as coming as this really ugly serpent, you know, the wicked witch of the West with the big long nose and the big pointy hat, and of course you recognize him. But he doesn't do that. He comes in as just what you would like. But nonetheless, what if you could? What if you could live the life of Adam or Eve? What if that's just what God wants you to do? Look at 2 Corinthians 5 with me. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Look at that again. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Hold on. Did you hear that? I mean, this isn't me, okay? Okay, we're gonna dig into it a little bit more, but this is the Word of God. And what I want you to realize this morning is, as we read this, as we look at this, this is true. If you're in Christ, you're not the old person anymore. You are a whole new creation. Not the old Ryan. It's not the old Ruth. It's not the old Chad or Bob, Dave. You're a whole new creation. Not just a new you, but a whole new creation. Remember last week we were talking about the Son of Man, how we had Adam, who was in the very beginning. God created Adam as his son. But really what God had in mind was not Adam and Eve. From the very beginning, God had in mind Christ and his church. Okay, let me show you this a little bit differently. Everybody remember, Adam was created by God, right? God formed him, and then God said, he needs a helper. And so God brings all the animals in, right? And Adam looks, and he goes, well, let's see, I'm going to call that one a dog, and I'm going to call that one a moose, and I'm going to call that one a bear, right? Except he used Latin. It says none of them were found to be suitable for him. So what God did is he puts them to sleep, and he takes what informs Eve? You ever hear the time when Adam went out really late one night? He came back in, and he tried not to wake Eve up, so he fell asleep under a tree, and right in the early morning hours, he was awakened to something, and he woke up. He looked up, and Eve was right there, and she was poking him in the side. And he said, "Honey, what are you doing?" He said, "Well," she said, "I'm counting." Some of y'all will get that later. God took a rib and created Eve. Jesus, the second Adam. Adam and Eve are supposed to fill the earth, multiply, right? Jesus, if he's the second Adam, who's the second Eve? Let me give you a hint. It came from his side. Remember, he's on the cross, and they pierce his side, and blood and water flows. And from that blood comes the church. And what's happening is at the second Adam with his bride, the church, the bride of Christ, is creating new offspring to fill the earth. Guys, it all ties together. When God created the world, guys, don't make this about God messing up. And you're going, no, I wouldn't do that. But oftentimes we look and go, you know, if God had only known and he hadn't put that other tree in the garden. Hello, come on. Right? No, God knew, and what God's plan was not for Adam and Eve. God's plan was Christ in the church. It says that Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. When before God spoke and the world came into existence at all, he said, I'm going to send my son. How am I going to get my son into the world? Well, I'm going to create a man and a woman. How am I going to get my son and his bride into the world to create spiritual children for me? I'm going to create a man and a woman. You know what? His side is going to flow blood. So I'm going to take the blood, I'm going to take the bone from Adam's side, and I'm going to create a wife for him, Eve. You know what? I want a group where all of them are filled by the Spirit. What? I'm going to create this Adam and Eve, and they're going to have kids. I know they're not going to be able to make it. So I need my son to come. Everything that Jesus did, or everything God did in the beginning, was to bring Jesus and the church into the world and to create a new creation. And what is awesome is that he's made it so that we can enter into that new creation. You see, everything that Adam lost in the fall, Jesus came to give you back. This is good news, people. Come on. Help me out here. Everything that Adam lost in the fall, Jesus came to give you back. What did Adam have? Well, he had perfect fellowship with God. Jesus came to give you that back. Adam was created without sin. Jesus came to give you that back. Adam was given the dominion mandate. Go and fill the earth, multiply, subdue it. Go out and fill the earth with the life of the garden. Jesus came to give you that back, to give you your position back, to give you the imago Dei, the image of God back right into your life. Flip over to Colossians. Let me show you this really quickly. Colossians chapter number 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old man. Okay, actually, self is not a very good interpretation there if you have self in your Bible. It's actually man. You've laid aside the old man with its evil practices and have put on the new man, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Did you see that? Oftentimes we think of the old self in us rising up. Well, that's just the old me coming back. But that's contrary to what Scripture says. There are two men. There's Adam and there's Christ. You're either in the old man, Adam, or you're in the new man, Christ. As we read, if you're in Christ, if you're in Christ, if you have said, yes, Lord, I believe you are who you said you are, I want you to forgive me of all of my sin. I want to serve and follow you all the days of my life. I will serve you out of obedience and out of faith. Lord, I want to be yours. If you have done that, you are in Christ. You are a new creature. You are in the new man. You are in Christ. I was sitting across the table from a friend of mine years ago. And he was telling me about, a Christian, okay? This is a Christian brother. He was telling me about being in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And AA is a great program. They've helped thousands and thousands of people. It's really a very Christian-based program. But at the same time, it's not specifically Christian. Like I said, again, great thing. But he was telling me, he's like, you know, I'm an addict. And he was kind of, because that's the AA thing, or that's the NA thing. I'm an addict. I need help. you know, there's a God who's going to help me. And I looked at him and said, brother, are you a new creature or not? Are you a new creature or are you not? He knows the scripture. He kind of started tearing up. And he said, yeah, you're right. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. I said, Jesus didn't make addicts. See, it's this mindset that we have to get ourselves out of. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The problem is we've been living below the level that God wants us to live for far too long. And we've got to start wrapping our minds around the life that Jesus lived. The life that Jesus lived, he wants us to live. If we're not living the life that Jesus lived, we're living below what God wants us to be. Because everything that Jesus did, now granted, he was the Son of God, all right? He is God fully. You'll never be God. However, you are his son and daughter. And Jesus came as a man. He laid aside a lot of the properties that he had of being God. That's Philippians 2. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit, and everything that he did while he was on the earth, God has made it for you to do as well. If you're not living the life that Jesus lived in his victory, in his fullness, in his passion, then you're living a life less than what God wants for you. Please get this. It'll change your life. It starts between, you know, between these ears here, okay? And it's got to work from here, this really long road down to here. Because even when you understand that, trying to get your brain and your heart to actually live it is a different story. But you first have to understand if getting on my knees and begging you to understand this would help, I would do it in a heartbeat. Because I want every person in here to live the life that God wants them to live. And it begins by realizing that you are a new creation in Christ. That there is the old man, Adam. And you were in the old man before you became a Christian. We read in 1 Corinthians last week, as in Adam, all die. If you are an Adamite, you die. You're dead already. Right? You might have a heartbeat. You might have brain waves. But if you do not have fellowship with God, you're dead. Well, there's Christ. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. We read John 1:1 as our unison reading. See, John 1, it starts out the way it does to show that Jesus was the beginning of a new creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why does it start out in the beginning? Because that's how Genesis 1:1 starts out. And what John is doing is coming along to say, Jesus is the beginning of a whole new creation. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. What did God do with Adam? God breathed in him the breath of life. What did God do with us? we look at the end of John and what it, and it says Jesus going around to the disciples and breathing on them and saying, receive the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 2 at Pentecost, you have a mighty rushing wind and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You think that that is the same thing as in Genesis? God has restored to us everything that was lost with Adam and Eve. By making us a new creation, by putting His Spirit within us. Let me finish with this scripture here. If you go to Galatians chapter 6. I want you to begin to see this. That's why I'm trying to get you these other scriptures, so that as you read the New Testament, as you read the Old Testament, you start to see how they go together. How the Old Testament is foreshadowing the New. And the New is the, if you will, it's type and shadow. The shadow is in the Old. The New Testament is the reality. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. And speaking of foreshadowing, I'm going to foreshadow a little bit for next week. It says, for neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Neither is Jew anything or Gentile anything, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. It doesn't matter your bloodline. It doesn't matter your walk of life. It doesn't matter if you were born a slave or a freeman. It doesn't matter if you were born black, white, red, male, female. What matters is, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? And if you have, then you have entered into a whole new realm, a whole new creation, so that you are able to live the life that Jesus lived. Not receive worship as He did, but that you can live in the same power. You can live in the same victory. You can live in the same fellowship with God that Jesus had. And what we'll see next week is how this new creation, what God did, is He took a man and a woman, and then he called a person out. He called out Abraham. And through the patriarchs, created Israel. And what God has done is He's taken Adam and Eve, He's taken Jesus, the new creation, and brought it about to have a new Israel. Peace be upon you and upon the Israel of God. All the blessings, all the promises, anything that you can find that's a promise in the Old Testament is yes and amen to us. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because He's the start of a new creation. And if you've said yes to Him, then you're a new creation as well. Please let this sink in. Please let it sink in. If we can walk this together, as I said last week, the fullness of Adam is nations. If you look at the nations right now, they're in a mess. A good, a, Most of them are in a mess. The fullness of Jesus and His church is new nations. Let's get with Jesus. Let's start making new nations, new families, new towns, new states, new nations, full of His people, full of His life, nations that are serving Him. It starts with understanding that you are a new creation with Him. Let's live His life. Let's live it together. Let's pray. Oh Lord, Lord, work in our hearts to understand that we have been recreated. Lord, I pray that every sin that any person has in here, that they will realize they don't have to stay in it any longer. Every sickness, every disease, you have taken it upon yourself at the cross. They don't have to stay in it any longer. Every baggage from past hurts, whether that's long time ago or short time ago, all that can leave. Lord, let's have a new revelation of you. Let us see how you want us to live. To be able to say, you know, if Christ lived that way, I can live that way too. Not because we have power in ourselves, but because you have restored our fellowship and given us the Spirit of God. Give us that new revelation, Lord. Let us begin to live it. Let us begin to live it today. In Jesus' name, amen.